Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ilona Europa, Accent on LA Talk Radio, Accent on London edition. I'm sure everybody already knows that I am now for more than a year in London, but my guests are from all around the world. Some of them have great accent, like mine. Some of them are just purely speaking perfect English. So, but we are used to that. What I am very excited about is to bring another great life story of the gentleman who is joining us today for our show. And his name is Matthew Jones. And he is an owner and creator of Bread Ahead Bakery and practically many, many businesses around this great name right now are created. So, hi, Matthew. Nice to meet you.
Hello and good morning. Hello, nice to meet you.
Yes, so I'm so happy rain stopped raining because I have a lot of windows here. So I was worried that we'll have drops, raindrops to be heard in time of our interview. But this is in London, so we need to enjoy this crazy weather. How are you today? You are not working, yes, today.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty much always working. So, the business is 24/7. And I live literally round the corner from the business. So I'm very much a central London baker.
So I need to tell people my story, why I wanted so much to talk to you. So one of those days we were walking to Borough Market and we were trying little foods here and there. And then I saw lots of bees. They were like, Here and there. I'm like, uh-oh, something good and sweet must be very close around. So we are going, my daughter Natasha, following the bees. And what I see this beautiful little place with so many breads. Obviously, I'm European. We love our breads. So I'm always looking for like the best of it. My eye really, really looked directly to something that looked like raisin bread, which I love it, but most of raisin bread that I eat is very sweet and almost similar to cakes. But obviously I said, please, Natasha, let's buy. And obvious, we bought. We finished this bread 10 minutes later, didn't bring back to home. So we came back like 20 minutes later to buy more loaves for home. We had another friend with us. She did the same. And that's how our love affair with your bread started and continues right now, probably 4 months later. Every day, Matthew, I have this bread. If I don't have one, I'm crying. I have in a refrigerator. I have, like I said, not only breakfast, but in the middle of the day. It's crazy. Even in my backpack, sometimes I'm taking with me. Because I love so much. So, yeah, you got my heart because I tried your bread. So I said, I need to just find out more about your bakery. Not saying that later I start trying your donuts, your sourdough bread. So we were slowly picking up everything, practically what is available in your store. So thank you so much for that. Finding great bread is not so easy. So congratulations on the rye bread.
Yeah, well, that's great to hear.
First, tell me about your background. Where are
okay.
you from?
Where am I from, originally? London. I was actually born in Sevenoaks. So Sevenoaks is a sleepy little town just to the south of London. And I was born there. My parents are actually Londoners. So they were from South London, and they moved down to Sevenoaks in the 60s. Back in the swinging 60s. So I was born in 1969. So I'm 50 now, 51 this year.
Congratulations. And 50.
Yeah, it's good age. I'm enjoying it. And so, yeah, I spent my childhood in Sevenoaks, which was, yeah, a lovely little town. They actually did have a very good bakery in it at the time. The Plaxtall Bakery that used to make all these sort of very traditional English baking. And I can still remember that old bakery. Now, my parents, so my mum is, well, still is now, still alive. She's a very keen cook. And I think it was really my mum that encouraged me into a career with food. So I was always in the kitchen. I loved food from a very early age. And I can always remember, you know, even now I remember, you know, Christmas was a huge thing in our house. We used to make everything, make our own mince pies and our Christmas pudding and Christmas cake. And, you know, it was a lovely thing. And so it's always been a really important part of my life to cook and to bake. And I think I was very fortunate. When I left school, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. So I left school when I was 15 and I became a chef. And I always knew, there was just no doubt in my mind, I wanted a career as a chef. So really, I started off, my first 15 years of my life were actually in kitchens. I was really lucky. I got an apprenticeship when I was 50. It was actually called a YTS, which is a youth training scheme. I did that when I left school. And it was in a restaurant called Thackeray's House in Tunbridge Wells. And it was brilliant. It was a proper old school restaurant. We made everything from scratch. We made the petit fours, the canapés. We made the bread. The ducks came in with feathers on. The fish came in whole. We, you know, all the vegetables, you know, everything was done from scratch. It was a real education, and it was a hard kitchen. It was mean, you know, the chefs there were, they were tough people. They were, and, you know, it was that kind of environment. I think it either would make you or break you. And I was very resilient. So I kind of, you know, I just did whatever it took to just get through it, you know? And then from then, I just sort of really embarked on a career as a chef. I went to a restaurant in Devon, a Michelin star restaurant, hotel, Gidley Park Hotel. I stayed there for 2 years with a very well-known chef called Sean Hill. That was in, it seems like such a long time ago now. I mean, that was in 1990. Then I came to London and I spent the better part of 10 years working. I worked at Bibendum, I worked at The Square, which is, you know, all the Michelin star restaurants at the time.
Wow.
So in London.
Seems like a lot of year, but not on your own. In 2013 or 14, you start to have this idea that you really, really want to open your own bakery, your bread ahead bakery.
Yeah.
So being an owner and creator, everybody is afraid of that. Or some people who are dreamers, they think it's easy. But I'm sure you are thinking about this a lot. Can you do it? How to find a place? I know that Borough Market was something that you were very familiar with and they knew you there. But still, a big place there, you know. So I don't know. You were like secure with yourself. Say, hey, I will do it. It will be no problem. I know I can do it. That's a big project.
Yeah, it was pretty terrifying, to be honest. But I mean, the thing is, I've always known I've got the ability. I can deliver the food, and I can make that happen. So for me, I knew that all I had to really do was just get my head down and work hard and just make the food happen. You know, in the early days, when we opened Borough, we did it on a very, very limited budget. I mean, as in, we didn't have a budget. There was just no money. So we had no packaging. We had no signage. It was so raw as a business. And I think there was really something in that. It was literally a table with some bread on it and us talking about it, you know. But the really interesting thing, I think, and I often like to explain our food like this. It's like you've got a relationship with our raisin bread, and we are about giving these food experiences to people. They kind of fall in love with the product, and that's really how it happens for us. We don't do advertising. We've never done, you know, we had a PR company when we were 5 years old. We didn't We didn't need to. In my experience, the most important thing is just putting an amazing product on the table and just being consistent. And then kind of the rest happens, you know, it kind of just looks after itself.
Beautiful. That's really the truth when it comes to us. So I will not let you get easily out, not explaining what is so magical about my raisin bread, because it's very, very special. You need to describe people why I think it's so special. I know that, like I said, it's not so sweet, has an amazing plumpy raisins, has this like taste of sourdough, but almost you feel like you eat a little bit cakeishly bread, and with butter, it's just heaven. And you fries this bread so nicely. It's really, I cannot say it's not expensive, but really it's not expensive for so much pleasure and really stays. One day with you, or one or third of the days with you, depends. So how, can you tell me a little bit, how did you create the raisin bread? And I know I went for you on your website. I listened to your interview. You described a little bit the process of making this bread. But please, if you can describe people why I think this is a genius, genius bread.
Well, it's actually a bit of a trick to make it. So, when you make a good raisin loaf, now the trick is on the first day of making, it's like a 4-day process to make it. So the first thing you do, you get your raisins and you soak them in water and you leave them in that water for 24 hours. So what happens is all the sweetness of the raisins comes out into the water and the raisins get super plump and they really swell up. So, and then what we do on the second day, we drain off that water and we actually use that water to make the dough with. So the water gets put into to make the dough, the base dough. So then by doing that, you're getting a lot of natural sweetness. It is a sourdough starter as well. It's got two types of sourdough starter. There's a rye sourdough and a white sourdough. So it's a pretty complex bread. But the natural sugars in the raisins have an effect on the proteins of the flour. So they do give it this amazing, almost sort of cake-like quality. And it is somewhere, it's somewhere in that field between being almost a bread, almost a cake, a bit like panettone, you know, it's just there, you know?
I know everybody and so many people all around the world are listening to our show and they will say, okay, I cannot try. I know that you're offering for people around the London a delivery, 6-day delivery right now, so... Mm. Yes, but I'm freezing my bread, so it seems like naturally you could like prepackage and start sending all around the world, which is probably in near future you'll be thinking about that too. So I know that people can also learn from you how to do certain things very, very well. And God, thank you, we have our computer ways of communication, and you are like a master when it comes to classes through the internet. But we'll go a little bit further to talk about this, because I really want whole world to get in touch with you if they want to learn the simple way of cooking, on the natural way of cooking, or something that like mother taught us how to cook, and just feel, especially that Christmas is coming, that we can do it. We can do something in our home that smells so familiar, even if we didn't purchase your bread, because we live in faraway countries. So if you can tell us, what is your favorite item in your bakery to bake when you can pick your own goodies?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I kind of like doing all of it. I think probably my favorite thing as a process to make is probably croissants. The viennoiserie, so making the croissants, the lamination. It's a very clean process. There's something really satisfying about croissant making croissants. It's getting those good laminations and the flakiness, and it is an art. And it's interesting because you can make croissants, this is true for baking. You can bake every single day of your life, and it's always a little bit different. There's always something that's going to be just a little nuance of difference. It's fascinating.
Well, right. The same like music. I'm a musician.
Yeah.
I'm a musician. Yeah. So every time when you sing live, you just cannot predict in a way how your performance will be. You all know that you will be good, but sometimes you're amazingly good. So you're right. Creativity is something that in a way we can maybe learn, but you also need to have in your genes. So I think you have this special touch and you have special taste, but that people respond to. So congratulations on that. Mm. So the next question will be, yes, we mentioned your road to how you build your company, but what sets you apart from all of these little bakeries that are around London? Why do you think that you are growing so fast? Why do you think that people like me are coming back to your store over and over? So there need to be something, one or two things that separates you from
this. I do think I approach it a bit differently because my background was a chef. So I spend most of my time, I spent a big bit of my life working in Michelin-star restaurants in London. And when I was younger and even now, I spend most of my free time eating out in restaurants or traveling. I mean, obviously traveling right now is difficult, but we travel extensively and I'm always looking for food experiences. So I'll give you an example. We went to, I can't remember the name of it now. We flew to Japan for a weekend once to go and have a steak. I mean, that was crazy. This is the sort of thing I would happily do. You know, I actually went to Los Angeles a few years ago and I went to Gigusta and I had one of their pistachio croissants. And I think it was one of the most exciting moments in my life. It was just, and I sort of hunt down those little food experiences. And there's not that many of them in the whole world. There's not many places where you can go and you can eat something that really takes you on a journey, on an emotional journey. And that's really what we're trying to do. I mean, I think we do at Bread Ahead. We're about giving real meaning to the eating experience and taking people on this journey emotionally. For example, when people come to our stall outside the bakery and they'll have a vanilla custard donut and we make them with it's Madagascan vanilla. There is no expense spared. We get the best ingredients we can. And I'll see them there. I'll see a new customer coming and I'll watch them having their donut. And then I ask them, have you had one of these before? And they're like, no, I haven't. This is my first one. And I like to say to people, so how does it feel? What's your experience? Where does it take you? And it's most often, it's funny, people think it somehow takes them back to their childhood. It's like a childhood, this warmth, a nurturing, a motherly feel that people get from really good cooking, a really good bread. And that's our connection. It's a really deep sort of movement in a person.
But you need to also add that outside of this vanilla custard amazing donut that I had, you have a few different donuts that really you capture your heart with little chocolatey taste and little, pistachio on the top. You're just a magician, I think. It's just so pretty on the eyes, but it's amazing when you eat them. And you are so right. I have my daughter she loves to find good restaurant, good food, but mostly like 70% she's unhappy with things that she purchased. Even when they looked good, they maybe smell good, they didn't taste well. So she's angry, So you are so right. We all are looking for something very, very special. I really think you're right because you are a chef, because you needed to please your customer, because you saw the feedback of customers almost every time when you were cooking or baking in a restaurant. You knew that people will come back only if they really trust you, that the taste will be amazing and then will remind you of something and they want to come back to it and bring the friends with it. So I think you are doing something very, very right when it comes to your bakery. Your stores are right now in a few places. Could you tell us how what was your first one and now you are growing, more and more?
Yeah. I mean, we never really pushed it when it was really, we just got approached by landlords. So the first store we opened was in Chelsea, just off Sloane Square. And that was the landlord phoned us and they said, oh, we've got a new site. Would you like to come and have a look? And I thought, that sounds very interesting. Yeah, great. And I thought, it's a really good location. It's Chelsea. And I like those. I've always tried to aim for those kind of real sort of London landmarks that people know. So it's sort of, you know, central London. So Chelsea is a great one. It's really, it's proper London. It's, you know, for me, Chelsea was, it reminded me a lot of when I grew up in London. I used to work nearby in Bibendum and I lived there for a while. So, you know, there was a sort of an emotional attachment to it. So Chelsea was the first one. Then we opened in Soho in the West End, which is, I love Soho. We're next to Carnaby Street, which was, you know, it's, again, it's like one of the first experiences I had when I was at school. I was probably 14, 15. I used to come to London with my friend at the time and we'd, you know, go and hang around Carnaby Street, the secondhand clothing stores. So it was really nice to be there. We've got a great site. It's a nice corner site right in Soho. So that was lovely. But we've got now five locations, you know, and that's fine for now. You know, always on the lookout for other spots, but it's finding the right little places, the right little pockets of London.
Yeah, the Hampstead, I think, then where else?
Queen's Park.
Yeah, amazing. Just amazing. Oh, yeah, slowly. You're getting us all, that's for sure. So can you tell us, now we have this crazy time, obvious time of COVID, but you grew something special too on the internet, you have your e-learning classes right now.
Well,
you had big success making people come to your school and you were teaching them how to bake and or how to just do what they think is impossible to learn and probably you show them the way. So could you tell us a little bit, what is your life, especially before Christmas? I'm sure you have something very special to offer for people all around the world if they want to join your e-classes. So can you talk about this business?
Well, we have an international. So we started teaching in Bredahead, in Borough Market. We started teaching in 2013. And our school, our classes just went crazy from day one. We were teaching peak time. We were teaching around 400 people a week. So in 2019, we taught 15,000 people on a lesson, you know, huge numbers. We now have three different schools in London. We've opened up different locations. We have five classrooms in total. We have, you know, eight full-time teachers. It's been really amazing. But throughout this period, we always talked about doing online teaching and we just never got around to it. So, and then the pandemic happened. And we had to do it. So it forced us to do it. But the response has been unbelievable. We doubled our following on Instagram in 6 weeks. It went crazy. We were doing IG lives for free. We did a different subject every day. Basically, I took a recipe out of my cookbook and just put it online every day on IG live. The Instagram, it went crazy. We got a direct message from Instagram themselves and they promoted us on their main platform on this thing called Discovery. And literally, I mean, it was like my phone was melting. It was like the amount of attention we got globally. Interestingly, a big chunk of our audience is in the States, about 20%. So we have a really big following in America. We send a lot of cookbooks to America. We ship them direct. Sometimes we send 200 per day. So there's a huge audience out there. But and then recently we've launched our Zoom baking classes. That's our latest edition. And we just can't keep up. It's phenomenal. We have now 20 different classes online. They're all on our website. You just click on there, join up. We send a joining pack. We send instructions. And people can bake at home with us, with me, my team. We do children's baking. So between now and Christmas, loads of festive stuff. We're doing mincemeat making, mince pies, Christmas puddings, Christmas cakes, how to make candied fruits properly, you know, how to make them, you know, crystallized oranges and all these really lovely, authentic, traditional things. So, and I think it's really the style of baking that we've adopted is, it is traditional. You know, I love tradition and doing things properly, good ingredients. And just really, I think this is an opportunity for everybody to kind of wind the clock back a bit, sort of internally, and just go back to some really good values in of life values, of baking with their children, of just, you know, homely, comforting food. And it's much more than baking, you know, that we offer. It's a sort of a way of life, and slowing people down a bit just to really enjoy their home. So, yeah.
I really think you're doing an amazing job. Your presence on the internet and obviously all what we are talking right now about with schools is very, very successful. We need to give people some links one more time. Your website is?
Oh, we're on breadahead.com. We're really easy to find. Yeah, it's nice and short and simple. So breadahead.com, all one word. Yeah, and our Instagram is easy to find as well.
Yes, everywhere. Of course, on Instagram, people can go and check you out, all your videos, and they can really, really learn. I like this idea, and you are talking about this so much, that cooking for yourself is fun, but cooking for somebody else start to be a tradition, start to be memory, start to being smelled in the home, smelled just something that we want to call back to it in our memories and create our future for our children, especially. I know in Poland, Christmas is a crazy time of the year. In America, Thanksgiving and other big holidays, of course, Christmas too. So I was always fighting very hard to create memories for my child and for my friends who are coming to my Christmas party. I put sometimes whole week, you know, into cooking and baking. And I really, really think this has a sense. This is something that can teach us being more human, being beautiful, wonderful to each other, and sharing the goods. So you have something for people to take away when they come to your store and just know that somebody created for them product that has all of these ingredients. There's love, there's perfection when it comes to the way how you cook, and the place that we want to come back to. I still want people to just understand that by going to a computer and learning with you, you're doing little lessons, little bit different. It's not like a recipe. It's not like you are nervous. Can you catch? Can you see? Can you that? You are doing this very, very friendly, little different than all of the lessons that we can get on the YouTube from different people. So you have different style, I think, very approachable. So I think that's very cool. Is this because of your personalities that is so easygoing? Is this because that's who you are and you want people to just understand it's not so hard? Some people, teachers, can tell us, oh, it's not so easy, but I will tell you how. But really, after this lesson, you still don't want to cook because it's too hard. And you know, no, you are making this different. You just say, no, it's simple. You know, sometimes you have a few different things put together and it's already magic, you know. So you make this easier for people. That's maybe why you are successful. So,
yeah.
But the time, you're spending so much time to do that. You know, I'm sure it's a profit in that. I'm sure you are fine, you know, doing a good, successful financial build-up too for your company. But the time, you have only 24 hours a day. So when this come from, how do you create your day from moment when you wake up till moment? And you still travel. You still, not now, but, you know, you still have time to do what you like to do.
Yeah. I mean, my sort of, I work 7 days a week. I always have done, and that's fine. I'm more than comfortable to do that. You know, if I'm in London, literally, I live next door to Borough Market. We are literally 3 minutes from the bakery. And if I'm in London and I'm at work, you know, that's fine. And I'm perfectly comfortable to do it. I don't feel tired. I don't feel it's a, you know, that expression they say, if you love what you're doing, you will never work a day in your life. So that's very true. I love what I do. I get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock every day. I walk to the bakery. I'm looking forward to my first job. You know, I can't wait. I love it. I love getting into the croissants. I mean, my typical working day is a bit of production in the morning till probably 10 o'clock. Then I'll do some online teaching. Then I'll come home and have lunch. I'll buy something nice in the market. and then go back to work. And I'm usually done by 7 or 8 o'clock. So it's funny though, I don't really see that as being a particularly long day. It's for me, that's just normal.
Yeah, but you're surrounded by people, probably people who work for you, who love you. So it's easier because when you have nice people to working, life is also good. But okay, do you eat everything what you are selling?
Yeah, if there's something on my menu, there's a reason it's there. And the reason will always be because I love it. So you can, you know, in the same way that we've discussed the raisin bread earlier, I could talk to you about any single one of the products I make for hours. You know, if you look at our Amaretti biscuits or our gingerbread or our brown sourdough or our babka buns or whatever, I can sit here and literally talk to you for a solid hour about how they came into, you know, the perception of them, the eating quality, the flavor profiles, all of those things, because I study it in extreme depth.
You know, we all are afraid of carbs. Everybody says, oh, carbs are bad for you. You cannot eat. Everything is, you know, dangerous. So, obviously, you look very, very fit, very nicely. I know you are eating all your project. I know I eat your breads. I didn't gain too much, but still I'm worried if I will do that for a whole year. Maybe next year when we'll be having interview, I will double my size. So, do you need to be worry about carbs that you are selling?
No, I think it's really difficult to give dietary advice always, you know, but I think, you know, I see, you know, obviously we've got to be responsible for what we eat. I mean, I think I'm just responsible for how I eat. You know, I eat certain things at certain times of day. I do still eat the donuts, but I'll probably have one once a month, you know. No, that's okay. And I really enjoy it. So I think the style of food we do, which is very indulgent, it's not for every day. And it's, you know, I love having, you know, in the morning I have porridge. I love porridge, but I have it plain. I make it with water. Sometimes I have a little teaspoon of honey, but nothing else. And that's kind of, it works for me, for my metabolism. I love good pasta. I love good risotto. I love that type of food, you know. But obviously, you know, everybody's got their own sort of dietary requirements. But you know, you can't eat our donuts every day. You know, you'd get sick of them. I mean, it's a once a month thing, and really enjoy it.
Bread is fine because has no add sugar. You know, it's sourdough, seems like. Yeah. So I think I'm safe. Please tell me that I'm safe.
Yeah. I think you'll be fine.
You have something special in the store that is called Box Bakes. What is this?
Oh, the Box Bakes, yeah. Okay, well, this year, because we're, you know, we're basically, well, who knows what's going to happen over the next sort of 8 weeks between now and Christmas. But, I mean, I think there's a lot of talk around lockdowns and, you know, people are going to be moving around less for sure. So we've developed a couple of new products, our Box Bakes. So basically, we have designed these kind of like lazy boxes a little bit, where people can buy the components of a gingerbread house, mince pies, and they can basically just assemble them at home. Now we're doing this to make it really accessible for people, because not everybody, what we're aware of is not everybody wants to make everything from scratch. You know, there may be some people living in a small apartment and they haven't got the space. So we've kind of done a little kit, for example, our mince pie kit, where we supply the pastry in a little piece and the mincemeat in a little bowl. And then all the people have got to do, all our bakers, our home bakers have got to do, is just roll it out. And we'll do this through a live tutorial. And we'll show them how to line it, how to fill it. So they still get all of the lovely smells and the creativity in their home, but they haven't got to do all of the hard work. They're kind of getting the best bit. You know, they're getting the finished product.
Yeah, and it's very nice package, you know. It's like just everything that you are selling in the package is really cute too, you know. It's like homey, and I'm like, I need to ruin this box. I'm so sad, you know. It's like really well presented. So congratulations on that too. So also, I have the question. You have your show, Friday, every Friday is live, live show. Yeah. Tell us, you know, how long you're doing that, because I was enjoying a lot to watching this, but maybe people can follow you every Friday. It's 7 p.m., yes?
Yeah, 7 o'clock UK time, 7 p.m. UK time on Fridays. And that was really just a bit of, just to really reconnect with our audience, because it's, there's definitely a growing audience, and I do it with my wife, Erica. And so Erica's got her own sort of like fan club in the back. Yes, and it's really funny. So we've developed our own sort of like banter, if it, as it were, you know, and it is quite fun. I mean, and it's just what we do now. It's Matthew and Erica at 7 p.m. and we just really talk about food. And we share some really lovely recipes. So yesterday I did pumpkin pie. Next week, I'm going to do the jam roly-poly, which is something we used to have at school. You know, it's like a suet-based pudding. You roll it up, you make the jam, obviously. You've got to make your own jam. But a jam roly-poly is just such a quintessentially British thing. You know, it's wonderful, really sort of like, you know, from school we have these things.
Do you know of some known names who are coming back and you could meet them because they just wanted to purchase your bread, maybe in Borough Market or just, do you know people from the high society that also are crazy about your bread?
I don't know. I mean, it's funny because occasionally we do get, down at Borough Market, there'll be a limousine or a fancy car will pull up. And a driver will get out and just collect a box. You know, we have pre-orders, but we never know where it's going because I think people, you know, they like their anonymity, really. Yeah. But you never know, do you? We had Prince Charles. He visited the bakery once, which was wonderful. He came and he made mince pies with us. This was 3 years ago.
That's beautiful.
It was, and Harry as well. We had Prince Harry. He came and bought a box of donuts from us. Which,
that's wonderful. Do you think that in the future you have maybe a TV show written in the sky? Maybe will happen.
I mean, it's not really. I would love to be honest. I would love to, but I think it needs to stay really connected with the bakery because for me, I'm first and foremost, I am a baker. And it's what's really important for my sort of own personal sanity is that I stay doing my job every day.
You cannot.
I need to stay connected.
Come to your place. That's all. Even, you know, I think your life could be a great reality show. I'm just loving to put in air certain dreams of mine. And I know that they will come true if I really want them. So I think. About you, the way how you create a business, the way that your business is your life, and you love so much what you're doing. And this is all not artificial. It's really homey. It's really huggable. It's smell and people. Yeah. Big family. I think reality show, you need to start taping, like, you know, 2-3 little bigger shows.
Well, what's really interesting here is that, you know, well, right now I'm talking to very much an American audience. And, you know, I love the States. I'm a huge fan. I love their food scene. You know, it's and I love the way, you know, for, you know, my sort of experience of America is going to my favorite towns, I suppose, really is New York and L.A. I go there as often as I can. But the service is amazing. And their approach to cooking is just so good. They have the produce, and the Americans, as far as I've seen, are incredibly enthusiastic around, you know, taking these little experiences with food and really delivering them well. So yeah, you're right. I mean, let's shout it out there. You know, if there's any producer out there who's looking for new talent, I'm your man, Matthew and Erica.
Yeah, this is what we need to put in.
Yeah.
Yes, I think the TV show or reality show, TV show is supposed to be in your future, near future. So I would.
It connects with so many people. You know, I think baking is so basic and so wonderful. And it is really, in many ways, the very foundation of society. It is that very sort of core nucleus of a society. And if we can create something healthy and nutritious and fun as a show around that, I think it would be wonderful. I think that would be, you know, so yeah, let's bring it on, you know.
Also mentioned that you love to talk for hours about your project, about a product. So yeah. If you can give us little advice and you can create right now in our imagination, little in class, something that requires to go to store and buy one or two or three little things. Not like, you know, sometimes you need to go, you have this list and like, oh, I will never buy it. And what I will do with this later. Okay. Is you just want something to create fast, you know, morning, or you have your husband or you have your child say, mommy, cook something, pancakes. I don't know, something. What do you think? What would be the bestest and the easiest way of start to learning right now and not being afraid because you really need a few things, milk or flour or something? Could you teach us something right now?
Yeah, I think, well, what really springs to mind and is it's very nice to do it this time of year in the autumn is puddings, is those traditional British puddings.
Puddings. What do I need to buy if I want to?
Well, a great one that is just always wonderful is like an apple crumble. It's wonderful. Apple crumble with custard. You know, I don't know anybody on the planet who doesn't love a really good apple crumble. Now, the trick is to making a really good one is that an apple crumble is almost like a shortbread. So the topping part, you want it really buttery, not too sweet, and quite chunky. So you get those sort of big rocks of like that shortbready carbs. Yeah. And with your apples, you can have a lot of fun with the apples. Now is the time for apples, apple season. You know, they're just starting and you can get lovely Bramleys that have that lovely acidity, you know, a good cooking apple. So they're delicious. You can introduce some spices into it. At the moment, I'm really enjoying cardamom. You know, cardamom is a lovely flavor. It has that slight, very aromatic taste. So yeah, get a bit of cardamom in there. And of course, a really good vanilla custard. You need, you know.
Just go for your donut. That's the easiest. Yeah. Okay, now, do you think it's a possibility that you can really send your product all around the world or even New York or start having this type of connection? What prohibits you to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's better, really. I think our core message as a business is more about teaching people and sharing our skills. I mean, yeah, we probably could send product. I don't know how the environmental impact of that. It's possible. I know there's some guys doing it. I think Poilin, you know, the French baker, he sends his sourdough around the world. I've seen the master of panettone, you know, Roy, this is from Roy. He's the guy, big on Instagram. He makes amazing panettones. He's in, I think he's in California. He posts globally. So that's, you know, and
even
things like cookies.
Raisin bread, you know, you can send everywhere. And I think Poland and Germany will really be jealous of this bread because Germany especially, they have great breads. You know, like I say, my country has amazing bread too. But like I am like just the biggest ambassador of bread, and I will be screaming, somebody, please contact Matthew and make this happen for Polish people, for German people, and for Los Angeles. And then, of course, whole world will take it over. If you have a little bit time outside of cooking, when you want a little break, what are you doing? Are you playing guitar? Are you writing the music? Are you maybe writing books? I know you are writing books. We'll be talking about your books too. But outside of your profession, if somebody will say, no more cooking, no more something.
Okay, I draw. I draw. I really like drawing. Yeah, a bit of painting, but drawing really is my thing. I like drawing with pen and ink. Sketching, I enjoy. I like woodwork. I like carpentry. I like making things, you know, using these hands.
Yeah. You cannot take artists from being an artist. You are creator. You create beautiful things to eat. And also you like to paint and draw. And yeah, that's wonderful. You have time for that?
Oh,
you
think? Yeah, I do. Yeah. I mean, it is something I would love to make more space for in my life is actually painting. I've got a friend who lives in Spain who's a very good painter. He's a real master, and there's a part of me, and I wish I had the time to really get that, you know, and do that work, because I've realized, you know, so.
What style it would be? Are you more a nature? Are you more, what type of sketches? Do you like nature or do you like?
Well, I like architecture, you know, I really like sort of, you know, I like to draw something like, I haven't got any examples right now, but I like to draw something like St. Paul's Cathedral. It's really, it's a very satisfying thing to draw. So architecture is nice, landscape. Yeah.
My daughter is, my producer is telling me, writing to me, you need to start selling your drawing in your stores. You have a place to do that, you know. So why? I think people love to get piece of your soul with them because you bought, again, my soul by eating your bread. I would, if something will speak to me of your art, I would love to have it. And that's a conversational piece, you know. I think with your little tiny boxes or something, you can start putting something of yours. Yeah. People, they will keep it if it's really good. I don't know. Maybe you are a really horrible artist, but I'm hoping you are not painter.
No, it's nothing. I'm not. It's not a commercial. It's not a commercial decision for me. I just enjoy it. You know.
That's what you. I'm saying people would love to know more about you because you are so mystical in a way. You know, and people can find you in every places. But yeah, personally, we want to always know more about a human. And that's why we have Accent On. I think I'm trying to take our conversation into also private direction. I know you're married. I know you're working with Erica.
So yeah.
How did you meet your wife?
Gosh, yeah, we met. When did we meet? Having a cup of tea somewhere.
On the internet?
Probably.
Oh my God! Yeah. Hope for lots of people right now because nobody really goes anywhere. So
yeah, I was single. I was married before, and then we parted company. I have four children with my previous wife. They live in Spain. They're actually bakers as well. They have a bakery business, and they're in the industry. So it's kind of in our DNA. Yeah, and then I stayed single for about 5 years. I was just busy. When I opened Bread Ahead, I was on my own, and all I did was work and sleep. Then I met Erica 5 years ago. Gosh, it's funny, isn't it? Yeah, how time flies.
Is she not jealous that you spend so much time being, you know, owner and baker? Where is the time for private life? I know wife can be pretty angry when you work seven days
a week. It's funny. No, I mean, Erica really understands it. She's never got an issue. Her dad was a surgeon. So she's actually from Lithuania. She's half Russian, half Lithuanian. And her parents are both very hardworking people. Her dad's a surgeon and her mum's got her own dental practice. So they're always working. So I think it's just, yeah, no problem. She actually really likes me when I'm just working, you know. Fine.
She can do what she wants to do. But is she into cooking also, or she has her own way of life?
I do the cooking. I mean, she studied law. She's got background in law. So she's very sort of mathematical and you know, as a thinker. She's very handy for me because I'm much more sort of artistic and chaotic, and she's very structured, which kind of, it really does work very well. Obviously I resist it because I love to have my artistic crazy freedom, and you know, so
no, you need to be this way because creativity comes at 2 in the morning and 4 in the morning. You never know when you have idea and then you want to work on it, and if you have not the freedom to do that, you know, so you cannot say I have 1 hour, I need to create. You really need to have all need to understand. I really, really am hoping that people who listen to us and watch us just enjoy to meeting you. And we wish that everybody can try the bread. I think I have in the freezer, but I will need to just open my refrigerator and tell people because will soon go to the store and purchase more. And I, like I say, I promise, if somebody just see a store, if it is in Soho, Chelsea, or Hampstead, or on Borough Market, they need to first steps to towards bread ahead. They'll be lucky to see you there and see lots of people who work for you. How many people are working for you?
About 100, 110 in total. Yeah.
You really need Erica. Good that you have her. But yeah, you are doing amazingly well. And if I can make send people one more time to your website, could you give it to us?
Yeah, breadahead.com.
Then we can. I have this beautiful also. It's back upside down. Great.
Oh yeah.
Yes, so people can pick up information about workshop, all the on the internet classes, and they can see you again live on Friday. So I think if people want to more learn how to cook and bake, bake your way, they really can easily to do that.
Yeah, well, I really do think an online presence for Bread Ahead, and for me actually, is something I'm really enjoying. You know, I think I was very fortunate that I came pre-internet. There was no internet. When I was born in 1969 and I grew up, you know, we used to write letters to each other. It was lovely. And then the internet happened and the world changed. But I think I'm very fortunate to have lived within that transition because, you know, the kids who grow up now, they don't know the world before.
Yeah.
And it's a radical. It is a massive, massive difference. But I think what's really valuable about my generation is we can still keep traditional values and put those into a online platform, because we can't have it only digital. We've got to have both to keep our sanity. So if we can embrace both of those skills and have them together, then we are onto a winner. Because this thing, this online stuff ain't going away. It's just going to get more. And I love it. I love technology. It's wonderful. But I think it's really important that we have both. You know, we need to find a world where these two things coexist.
Wonderful.
And bread is a way to do that. Baking at home. I think as well, what's really important about our Zoom baking and Zoom lessons is the fact they're live, because the live content, it's real, you know. So even sometimes when I'm teaching online and it goes wrong a bit, and I'm like, fine, you know, it's okay, because that's reality.
That's life, and life, and life. Life happens up and down, and people understand it, and they love moments like that. So you gave us a wonderful statement. You are right. We need to find a balance. We need to enjoy everything. I think you do amazing job again, delivering a product and food that people love, and you're growing and growing. And we hope 2021 will be the year that you expand to America. And maybe somebody will propose for you a reality show or event cooking.
I'd love to.
So we want this for you so much. And remember, Ilona Europa wish you the most. And but yes, we'll be following you, and hopefully everybody will enjoy your lessons, especially in cooking. Not everybody can taste your bread, raisin bread, and I am lucky. I'm the lucky one. So thank you so much today on Accent on London Edition, and only on LA Talk Radio and whole world, we were talking to Matthew Jones, who is an owner and creator of Bread Ahead Bakery School and Publishing Company, because we were talking a little bit about books, and our time is already ending, but people can find your books also on the website. So thank you so much for today. Thank you so much, and hopefully one day we'll see you face to face.
Yeah, great. Well, great to meet you.
Wonderful. And say hi to your wife.
I shall.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.